Goddess, in tribute to all the women and men out there trying to make this world a better place, fighting against oppression, religious intolerance, injustice, inequality, fighting to keep church and state separate, fighting against war. Well, tonight, it's my great pleasure to have as my guest Leah Burton. She's a woman who dedicates her every waking hour to the subject of Christian dominionism. Yes, that's what some of those batshit crazy Republicans in office are about, trying to claim American culture for Christ. You know, power and control, make us all be like them. Well, you know, they did it back in the days of Constantine. They used Christianity as a glue to keep the country together. In the process, they ferreted out, weeded out the diversity of paganism. You know, at a point back then, you could be killed for being something other than being Christian. And many of these politicians in office are aiming toward a theocracy here in the U.S. That's why we have this crazy ideology-driven politics in Washington right now, rather than what's best for the country in terms of jobs, equality, peace, and tolerance. And just in case you haven't been paying attention, no doubt some of you out there are probably working two jobs to keep food on the table. There have been 900 bills put out since November to take away reproductive rights from women, and even contraception in some states is under threat. But before we get to this important subject, I have a couple quick announcements and a promise to keep. First, real quick, I just want to make sure you know you can now give Voices of the Sacred Feminine on iTunes. You can download them right there, and there's a button for subscribing to the podcast as well. And again, I thank Penny for making that possible. Second, please save the date. Our Sacred Sunday services are starting at the Green Man in Hollywood on July 24th. They're going to be the fourth Sunday of every month, and I don't know for how long. We'll see how it goes. So check out my webpage, KarenTate.com. Go to the Sacred Sundays button and see what that's all about. We've been on hiatus for a while, but now we're back and happy to be serving the community with these eclectic, loving, inclusive, sacred feminine, divine masculine-oriented services, you know, for balance and wholeness and justice and equality and all those goddess ideals. Also, the annual Isis birthday Mediterranean feast is set for July 31st, so save the date. We've been celebrating the birthday of our great mother for almost a decade each July, and we continue the tradition, but this time with a Mediterranean feast instead of a tea. That means pomegranate tea, hummus, baba kanoush, kebabs, all of that good yummy stuff. So if you're interested in joining us, it's going to be in Hawthorne, California. That's Southern California for those who maybe aren't in the area and don't recognize the city. I'm happy to give you details. So just email me and I'll send you the complete menu. It's $25 and I'll send you where to send a check. Last week I was filmed on internet television on a show called Is That Normal, where we discussed the divine feminine and what it might mean to have not just secular law bringing justice and equality and partnership to the world, but also goddess theology. And here's the thought. If we're stuck with patriarchy, if we're stuck with Judeo-Christianity, why not counter it? Why not complement it? Why not balance it out with goddess theology? It would be best to have religion totally out of politics, but if it's got to be there, let's have it in balance. So if you'd like to see and listen to that two-part interview, you can email me at KarenTate108@ca.rr.com. I'll be happy to send the link to you. Also, I expect it'll soon be up on my YouTube channel, where you might want to go anyway now and check out the talk I gave to the American Academy of Religion titled Goddess is a Democrat, the Sacred Feminine for a Sustainable Future, where I make the case for what I just said, secular law and goddess theology as a means for a successful paradigm shift to counter this patriarchy, to counter fundamentalism, to counter this, you know, looking at the world through simply male authority and a male god. And finally, for the last week, the very last week, here is the promise I've kept for the last several months, as Keith Olbermann himself will finally be back on the airwaves on Current TV this Monday, June 20th. You can once again hear the formidable, brilliant, though sometimes controversial, advocate for fairness, sanity, and justice on primetime television. Well, I hope one day it'll soon be primetime television with him there. It very well could be. After all, he was responsible in large part for building up MSNBC. I, for one, can't wait to hear his special comments and his worst person segments. So just one more time, I'll say what I know he would have been saying every day, what he's probably dying to say, and maybe he'll even say it Monday. Mr. Boehner, where are the jobs? We are so tired of the lies. We know tax cuts for the rich don't create jobs. Voters didn't put you in office to redefine rape or make it hard for a woman to have the rights to her body. We aren't just a collection of body parts, Mr. Boehner. We aren't incubators for the state. And we aren't asleep. Lots of us out here are awake, and we're tired of your party attacking collective bargaining. Women and immorally trying to make the rich richer on the backs of those who have the least. Instead of bowing down to Ayn Rand, as I said last week, why not read the words of Jesus? Why not walk the talk of the fellow who the religious right claims to revere? Remember, a camel has more of a chance to enter the kingdom of heaven than a rich man. And can't we just see why in today's political climate? We are tired of your let them eat cake mentality. Remember what it got a certain French woman. But that brings tonight's announcements and comments to a close as we get to tonight's important guest, Leah Burton. Let me tell you a bit about her and her work before we begin our chat. Leah is a multi-generational Alaskan, born in Ketchikan, Alaska, in the late 1950s and raised throughout the state. She's an avid researcher on the 30-year infestation of the Republican Party by religious zealots and a member of the new Reformation Research Project. She was raised in Alaska politics and watched the conversion of the GOP as they merged pulpits with politics when her father ran as a Republican candidate for the Alaska Senate in 1990. Burton studied social psychology at the University of Alaska and received 2 years of training as a life coach. She worked as a lobbyist on family and children's issues for groups such as the League of Women Voters, National Association of Social Workers, and the Alaska Women's Lobby and Kid PAC. As a lobbyist, she drew acclaim from Alaska's governors and legislators for her work on behalf of Alaska's families. Her testimony was instrumental in persuading the Alaska State Joint Legislative Body to reject Sarah Palin's appointment of Wayne Anthony Ross as Alaska's Attorney General in April of 2009. She's a frequent guest on radio talk shows discussing why we need to take people like Sarah Palin and others like her seriously. She is a regular guest on popular blog talk radio show on GodDiscussion.com and the Alan Handelman Show out of Charlotte, North Carolina. She's become a go-to source on the topic of Christian dominionism in American politics. And as a mother and recent grandmother, she has a personal stake in working to preserve a secular America for the future of all its citizens. With the emergence of Alaska's former half-term governor, Sarah Palin, a Christian dominionist on the national political landscape, Burton has was prompted to put pen to paper with a sense of urgency, setting out to expose this very dangerous movement. Burton looks forward to the debate and emotion that will inevitably come with forcing an open discussion on these taboo topics, religion and politics. Well, welcome, Leah, to the show.
Well, thank you so much, Karen, for this opportunity.
Well, you know, that's what we're all about here is religion and politics, because you know what, that's what it's been about for women all along. You know, the politics of excluding women had nothing really to do with spirituality. It has everything to do with power and control, and, you know, that's what we want to change, too. So,
and we do need to change in this country. This, you know, I'm 53 years old, and so, you know, I remember as a youngster being told that you don't discuss politics and religion. It's not polite.
Right.
And,
well, you know, I was told the same thing at the dinner table. You don't, you know, talk about sex. You don't talk about politics. You don't talk about money, you know.
And look at where that's gotten us.
Yeah, I was about to say, how convenient is that? You know, that's kept the status quo on top and the people at the bottom on the bottom.
Well, exactly, and one of the most dangerous things, one of the most dangerous outcomes of this whole taboo, you don't discuss it, and people still cringe. I mean, even people in their 30s and 40s, I mean, this message is still carrying on, is that there's a very little understanding. And what happens is, we're seeing it manifest right now in America, is that because someone can co-opt and just call themselves a Christian, then the bulk of the Christians in America are not Christian dominionists. They are mainline Christians. But when a Michelle Bachmann or a Sarah Palin goes out and invokes, you know, the Bible and Christ and God, and you know, the mainline Christians don't understand enough about this sect of dominionism, this extreme sect of Christianity. So they defend them. They embrace them. They, you know, they'll tell you not to pick on them, when what they don't understand is that they are as much an enemy to the dominionists because they're not the right kind of Christian as a pagan or a Wiccan or a Scientologist or a Mormon or a Catholic.
Right, right. Well, now, you know, I was telling you briefly before I started the show, and, you know, and I'm not, you know, I'm never afraid to show my ignorance here because I learn from this show and all my wonderful guests. Dominionism, I have never heard that word before. Is that the same as fundamentalism, or is there something more sinister about it?
Well, you know, I'm glad you asked that, Karen, because 3 years ago I decided that what I had to do is I had to distill down into a term, an umbrella phrase that I could hang this message on. You know, I mean, it's called branding. You know, like we call everything Kleenex, even though it may not be the Kleenex brand. It brings a visual picture in our mind. We can wrap our minds around it.
Right.
And the purists in this debate, who there have been some really, really good books written about this beginning in 1988, but only the choir has read those books. They don't make it outside the fold very often. One of the only ones that really kind of got out there and got a little bit of notoriety was Jeff Charlotte's book on the family. And it had its moment in the sun around the affairs of John Ensign and Mark Sanford in South Carolina, and then it's kind of it died down again. So most of the discussion goes on within our own group of researchers, those of us who already have an understanding of this. But what must happen is that it must become a commonplace dialogue and a discussion that we have across this country amongst all of us, no matter whether you're conservative or liberal or apolitical or whatever. This is about survival in this country and protecting our freedom. So I decided to call it Christian dominionism as an umbrella term, because dangling underneath that umbrella will make your eyes roll back in your head. The New Apostolic Reformationists, the apostolic and prophetic groups, the Transformation Network, the Calvinists, the Rush Dooney followers, the premillennialists, the postmillennialists. I mean, it just can go on and on. And the theologians and the academics have gotten really frustrated with me and said, well, you can't use that term. But it is an English word, dominion, so yes, I can.
Well, and if they're trying to dominate, you know, if they're trying to dominate, it seems appropriate.
It's their mandate. And where dominion is in the very first book of the Old Testament in Genesis, chapter 1, and it's verses 26 through 28, and that is the dominion mandate. This is what they use in their theology that gives them a mandate directly from God to them to go and take dominion over, and this is what it says, all things that walk, crawl, and swim on the earth.
Hmm. Mandate so dogma, of course, but anyway.
So, you know, Christian dominionism seems to be the most succinct way that I could come with this. And what is really heartening is that when I first Googled that term 3 years ago, everything about that had the words Christian dominionism in it fit on about 2 pages on Google. And now I believe it's over 2 million.
Wow.
I mean, individual.
I bet from what you're saying, they would wear that term like a badge of honor. But it seems like the people who didn't want you to use it, what, were they just trying to be politically correct or something?
Yes, yes. And
okay.
It's time that we stop arguing about stuff like that, because honestly, you need to put it in terms that people can easily understand. Taking dominion over, and it's not like it's separate from their mandate. This is what they believe.
Right.
So we just need to call it what it is. And underneath that umbrella, you'll have, you know, for example, you will have varying different sects within dominionism that don't necessarily agree with each other. Like Jerry Falwell didn't necessarily agree all the time with Pat Robertson. Bottom line is, their common goal was to take dominion over.
Right. Well, you know, I couldn't help but think about them this week as the fires are raging in Arizona. And I remember, these were where my thoughts went. You know, when we had the flood and, you know, when we had Katrina, they were saying, oh, New Orleans deserved it because of the sin, because of the gays.
Right.
And I couldn't help but think to myself, I wonder if Arizona is being punished for their immigration policies. You know,
yeah, oddly enough, see, they will always, they do what we call scripture twisting. They have the ability to take any situation and any event and twist it to their favor. And
right.
So now, because of the tornadoes that went through the Bible Belt and these horrible fires down in Arizona, you know, these are now being twisted in their phraseology as being all of America is being punished because of its, you know, embracing homosexuals.
Ah, I see. So that's the shtick. Well, let me ask you this. You must be like ready to pull your hair out of your head about those hearings in Washington. Who is the a senator or a House person by the name of King who was doing these? You know, looking for radical Muslimism, but he wouldn't dare touch Christian fundamentalism. I mean, that must make you nuts.
It does make us nuts, and. Peter King out of New York.
And he
basically just, you know, brought the McCarthy era trials, you know, back to life. And with considerable help and support from people like Michelle Bachmann, who, you know, just today, what drives me crazy actually are the pundits that already today are, oh my, you know, Michelle Bachmann was so strong and she was so, you know, presented so well and so confident, you know, at this debate in New Hampshire. Stop doing that already. You know,
right.
You don't need to get that fluff out there and give her any more support. But, yes, there's a horrible, elevated paranoia about Muslims in this country.
Yeah.
And it's all about hate and intolerance. It's an anti-Christian sentiment being used by the dominionists.
I also suspect, too, during any of this conversation, please correct me if I'm wrong, but I also think it's almost a setup because, you know, the religious right loves to go to war. The Republicans love to go to war. It's a money-making proposition, and they are psyching people up for a war against Iran, I think, you know, or a war against some Muslim country as if Muslims are subhuman and, you know, they're not like them and, you know, bullets and bombs will rain down on them, and they're doing the work of God.
Well, yes, you know what? You're absolutely right. There's a couple of reasons for this hyperbolic, material going out there and all the hate and the vitriol and the, you know, just getting people ramped up and playing on people's emotions of fear and paranoia. And in the dominionist view of the world, it is their job to help as agents for Christ to bring on the second coming. I was raised Lutheran, Protestant. My mother ended up being swept up into this dominionist theology when I was in my teens. I watched this happen, and I really do understand it as much as anyone can. But they really think that it is their job. They, you know, forget that part in the Bible that said, "You will not know, you know, the day, the hour of which I'll come. I'll come like a thief in the night." You know, everything has been just completely repackaged and sold to give them control and power. And part of this whole process is to initiate an all-out nuclear war, because that will then fulfill the prophecy in Armageddon of fire falling from the sky via a nuclear war, and provoking, you know, a reaction out of Iran is one of the best ways to do it, that or North Korea.
Right.
You know,
and won't they be
surprised
if
she's ignorant. That's a huge difference. She's ignorant because in dominionism, the women really are not encouraged. Well, the masses, the sheeples, are not encouraged really to become critical thinkers.
Mm-hmm.
They don't want them to question. They want them to they want them to listen and do as they're told.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
You know, her remarks about seeing Russia from her porch and all that kind of stuff, you know, that was the build-up to that kind of rhetoric.
Mm-hmm.
Their seemingly schizophrenic love-hate relationship with Israel and Jews is actually, unfortunately, explained quite easily. They do believe that before the second coming can happen, there's a set number of things that have to occur. One of those things is literally the rounding up and the pushing of a migration of all the Jewish people in the world back to their homeland of Israel, which is why they do not believe in a two-state. They believe that that Israel should incorporate Palestine, and they need to get as many people there as possible. That's why you have people like John Hagee and a number of other dominionists that have these pilgrimages that go over there. They spend millions upon millions upon millions, billions of dollars building multifamily buildings over there, supposedly on the outside looking like, you know, loving Christians providing homes. That's not what they're doing. And the biggest fear is going to be when they decide how they're going to handle taking care of removing the Dome of Omar, which is the second most cherished building in the Muslim world, that is actually sitting smack dab on the top of the same exact spot where they have to rebuild Solomon's Temple before the second coming.
Is that the Dome of the Rock there? Okay. Well, and we're going to get to your talking points, but this is interesting. I want to follow this thread a little bit. So,
sure.
All right, so they need some things to play out over there for them to sort of justify their end of the world scenario. Do people like Hillary Clinton and Obama and, you know, I guess I would call them the same people in politics, do they know that this is going on? I mean, that this is their agenda to really force this Armageddon?
You know, one of the things that the reason why I do this from morning until night is that, you know, is that there may be people out there that understand portions of this. What I don't think people understand, including as high up as people like Obama or Hillary Clinton, is how coordinated this is. This is a movement. This is not just a random bunch of you know, a zealot here, a zealot there. This is a very coordinated movement. This particular incarnation of the dominionist political machine really got its roots into the American conservative population in the late 80s and the early 90s, and by 1992 solidly had taken control of the Republican Party. Now, for example, right now, all the debate that's going on and the speculation, I can tell you that because it is dominionist controlled, Newt Gingrich will not ever be a nominee. Mitt Romney will never be the nominee. John Huntsman will never be the nominee because they're Mormon and Newt's Catholic. You have to pass the litmus test. You have to be a born again, accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and have a personal relationship with Christ. If you don't, you will not rise to the level of being the nominee for the GOP.
So that leaves it to Pawlenty or Bachman.
Or Perry. or a guy. See, there are unknowns, and that's the thing that's so frightening about everybody spending so much fascination time with Palin and all the tabloid things. I mean, I've been asked and to write things that, frankly, I don't think are any of our business. You know, I mean, everybody has personal family issues and turmoils in their life, and that's not my focus on Sarah Palin. My focus is on how dangerous she is and how she goes around and basically, I say she ignites and excites the extremists from, very conservative members in this country who range everything from very racist to ignorantly Bible thumping.
Right.
And
well,
that's
well,
her
me,
dangerous.
Let me
Whether
ask
she
you,
ever,
like,
ever got elected to a political office again or not, if she got trampled by a moose in the Arctic today, it does not diminish the importance that this woman has had on bringing out a segment of America that most of us thought didn't really exist in that high of number anymore. It's
well,
been
and,
a frightening
and,
thing to watch this come out of the woodwork.
Well, and I'm wondering, I mean, have you, I mean, you saw the coverage that Rachel Maddow gave with, you know, the C Street people.
Right.
Have you tried to get her attention? Because I can't imagine that she wouldn't jump on this.
I have tried. I actually have sent messages to her and to Randy Rose and to a number of people, Keith Olbermann. I have a feeling that I have a book that I actually had signed a contract with a publisher that was going to be in the bookstores on April 11th. Unfortunately, when I turned over my manuscript in February, they took it in-house and they completely trashed my manuscript and took out all the serious discussion about dominionism, which I actually write in a fairly colloquial and humorous way as much as you can. But they tried to turn it into a tabloid book about Palin, and I had to sever that. So that was really unfortunate. But I now have 8 publishers that are in the process of going through the manuscript, and I have a feeling because this keeps the crescendo of all this discussion is rising and rising, that it won't seem quite so out of the blue to them right now. So I'm hoping that as soon as that book comes out, and it must come out by this fall, I would imagine that I will end up getting invited to be on those shows, and Lawrence O'Donnell as well. I think he's really a brave soul and really hitting this stuff pretty hard.
Yeah, and Colbert and Jon Stewart, Bill Maher, all of them, you know. I mean, I hope
yes.
You end up making the rounds. And you know what? I will be glad on Facebook or through my database or my show to urge my listeners to email these people. I mean, maybe if their producers see enough emails saying your name and hopefully your book, that maybe that it won't be just your lone voice trying to, you know, wave a flag and get their attention. Because believe me, as an author, I know how hard that is.
Thank you. That would be wonderful. Yeah, the name of the book is Fringe America, God, Guns, and Greed. And like I say, I have intentionally written it in such a way that it's conversational. I want it to be something that people pick up and enjoy reading. I don't want it to be a textbook or a journal,
right.
a journalistic writing, because we need to get this out there. And I give a little bit of, my background experience in Alaska. And the first time I went head-to-head and toe-to-toe with Sarah was out in the Matsu Valley where she lives out in Wasilla when I was a lobbyist, and she had rallied her townspeople, and this was before she was mayor, and they were protesting the clinic out there trying to shut it down for performing abortions. A very dear friend of mine, Pastor Howard Bass, who is a mainline Christian, was a personal victim of her trying to censor, because he wrote a book called Pastor, I'm Gay, and when she was mayor, she tried to ban it not only from the local bookstores, but also from the library.
Yeah.
These stories are not fiction, but, I've dealt with her along the way, and I know her quite well, and I'm one of the only bloggers that writes frequently about her that she never mentions. She doesn't want to bring my name up.
Because you have too much on her, I guess.
Well, I don't get bogged down in talking about whether the baby is hers or who she's with or, how much money she spent on her clothes. I talk about the stuff she really doesn't want to be discussed.
Like what?
Her connection to Christian Dominionism. She's been groomed for this position since she was 24 by her spiritual advisor, a woman by the name of Mary Glazier. And Mary's from my hometown of Ketchikan. Mary was caught up and swept up in about 1968 in this wave, one of the first waves that went through Alaska of this fundamentalist, charismatic, Pentecostal, Christianity. And that was about the time my mother was caught up in it as well. Another wave came through in the early 70s, and that was about the time that Sarah Palin was caught up in it. She went to her first Jesus camp when she was 12. But she's been groomed for this. And so most of us in this country, and unfortunately worldwide, as embarrassing as all this is, most of us look and go, she came out of nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
And, she's pretty and,
mm-hmm.
she's the governor and...
She's charismatic, she's charismatic. And, I thought one of the appalling things about McCain choosing her, I thought it was so insulting to women to think that she could even hold a candle to Hillary Clinton, as if Republicans were so... thought so little of women's intelligence that it was like any uterus would do,
He didn't choose her, though.
Huh?
He did not choose her. He did not choose her. And, in fact, he wanted Joe Lieberman to be his running mate.
Yeah.
He was told that she was going to be running on the ticket. And, again, by, the people behind the scenes – that really call the shots within this new incarnation of the Republican Party.
Right.
And one of them being Bill Kristol, who is an editor for the Weekly Standard. He and a group of his cronies from the Council for National Policy, which is a secret club outside of D.C. that has an enormous list, which I've added the top 40 in my book. But several of them took two different trips to Alaska starting in 2006. So they didn't just tap her on the shoulder that summer.
Ah, I see. Well, forgive me if this is a dumb question. I really don't know how this all works. Why are moderate, sane Republicans who are not caught up in this, why are they not fighting this? I mean, is it simply because, just to get a Republican in office? I mean, look what's happening. I mean, they can't control them. I mean, look what's happening with the Tea Party. Because they always say, well, Boehner, he's one of the saner, more moderate Republicans. I mean, they've lost control of their party, it seems like. I mean, is that really true?
Well, they really have. And you're right. And so what's happened since the early 90s is you had, for example, my father is... As you mentioned in the beginning in my bio, my father actually was a dedicated Republican. But I call them the Eisenhower Republicans. They believe in secular conservatism.
Mm-hmm.
They may have their own devout belief, whatever that may be, but that's in their private life. They don't believe in mixing church and state.
Mm-hmm.
And so he pulled out of it in the early 90s when he saw that this had become part of the Republican platform in Alaska. He remained a Republican, but it took until Sarah Palin was running for governor that he actually got so disgusted that he re-registered as an independent and voted for Obama, which almost made me grab my heart and fall to the floor. But there are a lot like him, and there are a ton of these new independents, conservative independents, moderate independents that they call them. When you hear them talking about them, that's who they are. For the most part, they're the Eisenhower Republicans. These are the people that are embarrassed by this Republican Party. They're embarrassed by the Tea Partiers. And they just, don't really know where else to go. But they think that they're starting to, it's getting so bad and so out of hand that there are now, people that are kind of working in that direction of trying. I keep saying, they always say, well, you're nothing but a liberal. And I say, you know what? I may have, politically liberal ideas, but I'm probably the biggest cheerleader for the, Eisenhower, the secular Republicans there is. I want them to come take their party back.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody would be happier than me for to have these secular Republicans come back in. But people like Christine Todd Whitman, she has a website, and it's essentially, you know, let's organize and take our party back. So it is starting to happen, but I think that this is going to be a real telltale year. 2012, the election of 2012 is going to really determine whether the Republican Party actually survives, because people need to remember in our history we've had other parties that have fractured and disappeared, like the Whig Party.
Right. Well, if you had to predict, Leah, because, you know, you have a better finger on the pulse of that side, you know. I mean, you know, we won't even talk about, you know, our disappointment with the left, but it just sort of focused on the right. So you're predicting that it's going to be a Dominionist rather than Mitt Romney that's probably
yes.
going to get, that's going to go against Obama. But these Eisenhower Republicans, like your dad, will they vote for that candidate, or are they going to go for Obama?
No, they won't vote for that candidate, because those people actually, you know, as heartbroken as they are to see the, you know, their conservative party, you know, really just going into absolute chaos, are smart enough to see, you know, what is really destructive and what is really best for the country, even if they have to hold their nose and vote D. And one of the things I tell people all the time now is we no longer have the luxury of partisan politics. It's really no longer about Democrat versus Republican, because honestly, Karen, where we are now today is it's about voting for freedom or
mm-hmm.
voting for theocracy.
Yeah, yeah, I can see that. Well, and also, you know, is labor going to have any, you know, any rights at all? That really scares
no.
me too, you know.
No, not under a Dominionist administration, because, one, they know that the labor unions are one of the biggest funders of Democratic campaigns, and they know that that will cripple a lot of candidates across the country, you know, locally, nationally, and presidential donations. And they just absolutely don't believe in it. They don't believe, you know, they figure that if you're downtrodden and you're poor, it's because you're not right with God.
That's what I've heard, yeah. And if you're rich and greedy and all of this, well, that's all fine, because that's just a sign that God loves you. I mean, it, talk about
Yeah, and it's actually called prosperity gospel, and that's why Sarah Palin actually is energized and fueled, because the more money she's making, the richer she becomes, and it's not just her, it's all of them, then that's just affirmation to them that God is shining down and pleased.
Well, I know I had Frank Schaefer on the show. And he's coming back on. And, you know, he tried to explain to me, and maybe you could, I mean, it's been a long time since I talked to him, maybe you could refresh my listeners if you know the answer to this. How do they justify being so anti-Jesus? I mean, they're more Ayn Rand than Jesus. And how can they justify ignoring the teachings of Jesus, or do they twist that too?
They twist it. Their Bibles are literally twisted. You know, honestly, Karen, and I get asked all the time, people say, well, how are you going to convince them, or how are you going to change? And it's like, you know what, I'm not going to bother. This is a cult, and it really, truly, I'm not saying that just to be, you know, a smart aleck. It fits the definition of a cult. And, you know, the Assemblies of God organization is one of the biggest, you know, churches within the Christian Dominionist theological empire that's growing around here in this country. But believe me, it's not just in America. Australia has a huge, huge problem with it there and these mega churches. So the Philippines, believe it or not, Singapore has one of the highest Dominionist populations.
So how many do we think are here in the United States?
Between 60 to 80 million.
Okay.
They themselves, the latest I heard straight from one of their mouths was 104 million. But, you know, you look at some of these churches like Joel Osteen's church in Houston, he packs in 22,000 people every Sunday.
It's incredible. And you know that's, you know, their money is just pouring in hand over fist.
Oh, huge amounts of money. Absolutely volumes of money. And, you know, it's no mistake that Sarah Palin chose to move, you know, part-time down to Arizona. The Phoenix Assembly of God Church is the largest congregation in the United States, extremely powerful, very well-funded.
Wow. So if we wanted to sort of just watch ourselves, you know, watch the blogs, watch, you know, the stories on television, who are the Eisenhower Republicans that still have a voice out there? Wait, let me rephrase the question. Yeah, I want to know that. But I one of the things I also wanted to say to you, too, when you said, you know, this will be a year that will tell how this is going to go. When you said that, did you mean if they're going to, you know, if these Tea Party partiers, who I assume are connected to this too, that they really just break the Republican Party in two? I mean, is that what we could potentially see? Please say yes.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. And in fact, there is a concerted effort to shatter the Republican Party. You know, Sarah Palin right now is just absolutely eating this up and loving it because she is not a Republican. She has never been a Republican. Now, it's not to say that she hasn't run as a Republican candidate, but we have, you know, video footage of she belonged, you know, even peripherally to the Alaska Independence Party in Alaska. Todd was a card-carrying member. You know, we have tapes of their conferences saying it doesn't matter what party you run in as long as you win.
Right.
So this is where the term stealth candidates come up because it's not to say that they don't end up in the Democratic Party, too. But
well, yeah,
not very
dog,
often.
The blue dog
get
Democrats
a blue dog in there
that were killing.
Opinionist.
Yeah, exactly. Right.
But yeah, you see, for her, for Palin and her ilk, this is part of a long-term goal, is to destroy the Republican Party, because they've already have another one set up and ready to take its place, and it's called the American Constitution Party. That party was started, it was set up and established in 1989. If you go and look at the Constitution Party .com or .org, read the preamble and read the platform. And very boldly, and that's why I always say, all this is hiding in plain sight. You know, when people say, well, I've never really noticed this, or I haven't really seen it, and it's just, you know, once you start paying attention, you will be stunned at how obvious they are.
But if they can't beat Obama in 2012, if the country rejects them in 2012, what makes them think as a new upstart party that doesn't even have the recognition of being, quote, Republican, that they could, you know, that they could win?
Because what they're trying to do is cripple the Republican Party to make it – right now they look at the Republicans, you know, secular Republicans and independent Republicans as you know, as much an enemy as the Democrats. Even, you know, as pathetic as he is, even the John Boehners, because Boehner is not a Dominionist.
Okay.
Boehner is an opportunist. That's why I call it God, guns, and greed. You know, the Koch brothers are not Christian Dominionists, but – they work very closely with the Dominionist community because the one goal that they both have in common, privatization of government.
Right.
It works for the corporations because they'll, you know, swoop in and fill the void and make profits, and that's the greed. And for the Dominionists, it works very well because nobody can tell them they can't, you know, have their kids pray, everybody pray in school and make their version of Christianity a national, you know, well, turning us into a Christian nation, which is exactly
right.
What they are constantly trying to do.
Right. Well, and that really scares me. I mean, I'm a former Catholic, and I don't profess to be a Christian anymore, even though some of my best friends are progressive Christians, and I love them because they're not like these people we're talking about, you know.
No, they're loving mainline Christians. They really believe that, you know, Christ was, you know, that the mainline Christian version is Christ was a very humble and loving person who did not put emphasis on material possessions or power and glory.
Right, and, you know, and he didn't have a problem with women. You know, I mean, I like to think of him as one of the first feminists, you know.
Yeah.
You know, so, yes, I mean, it's not, you know, it's this radical extremist zealotry that that scares me to death as a non-Christian, because I don't know whether you're aware of it, but here in California, there are Tier 1 and Tier 2 religions. Do you know about that?
A little bit, because I actually am working with the California Council of Churches.
Okay.
Yeah,
because I mean a lot of people who are non-Christians, and you know, some self-identify as pagans, some of us are just, you know, we don't have a label, you know, but we're not Christian. You know, we started to realize that if you weren't a Jew, you weren't a Christian, you weren't a Muslim, and I think maybe a Buddhist, then you didn't have the same rights as those you know, top tier religions, the ones in tier one, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, they have sort of infiltrated all levels of government, from, you know, judges to clerks to, you know, and I mean, things are warped already here in liberal California, you know.
Yes.
So if blue state liberal California can be taken over by these people, anywhere can.
Oh, absolutely. In fact, you know, Antonin Scalia and Clarence Thomas are Dominionists, and they're in our Supreme Court. I mean, It's just absolutely horrendous to look at some of the most recent stuff that Antonin Scalia has said about women, and that the U.S. Constitution did not afford us the equal treatment and freedom and the same rights as men. He just
said
that.
So the reason why this isn't played out more in the media, I mean, is the media controlled by the Dominionists?
Well, see, the thing is, you know, we really have infotainment. We don't have news. I mean, you know, the days of Walter Cronkite and, you know, I mean, back when they actually went out and really dug up news stories and did news, it's just driven by, you know, that greed aspect. You know, I one of the things when I get on some of these radio shows down in the South and I get these callers and they call in and they just attack me, you know, and I point out to them, and they don't like this, but, you know, truth hurts sometimes. That the second largest shareholder in Fox News Corp to Rupert Murdoch
mm-hmm.
is a guy named Prince Alawid Talal.
Yeah, I remember
that. Out of Saudi
that.
Arabia, who
right.
is a Wahhabist Muslim.
Okay. And those are the ones that are pretty conservative and anti-woman, more than
they're
our
version
aren't they?
Of the Dominionists, yeah. They're misogynists. They are pro-Sharia law. Bin Laden was a Wahhabist. They are the radical Islam extremists that our conservatives try to paint all Muslims as.
Right, right.
They're a small, violent, angry sect of Islam, just like the Dominionists are a small, very verbal, bullying, misogynistic group, a sect of Christianity. And that's what I always try to paint the picture for people so they understand this. The majority of Christians in America are mainline Christians, are loving and kind. The majority of Muslims in the world are loving and kind. They do not believe in the retributive, punitive, women-hating version of the Wahhabists. And yet here, these people who are down there tromping around at Park 51 in New York, screaming and yelling, anti-Muslim, and all the horrible things that they've said, all the horrible attacks that have happened to American Muslims in this country, with all that getting whipped up, with Sarah Palin contributing right to it, just like gasoline falling off of her tongue onto a bonfire, most of those people absolutely believe every word that's said on Fox News, and the second biggest funder and stockholder is a Wahhabist.
So would you classify Fox News as Dominionist-controlled?
No, I classify it as a corporate control. You know,
okay.
That falls into the Koch brothers, you know?
Yeah, so they're just on, they have similar goals, but they're not.
They have similar goals.
Yeah.
They don't share the, you know, Rupert Murdoch doesn't give a rat's ass about Sarah Palin.
Well, and
know?
I even heard his wife was a young liberal. Is that true?
Well, and his kids are starting to push back, and he's getting older now, and his kids are going to inherit his empire. So it'll be very interesting to see what will eventually happen with all of what he owns. But I just find it so ironic that these people that are the most afraid, you know, that supported Peter King's, you know, congressional hearings about the Muslims are coming and taking over our country and going to impose Sharia law, that they're listening to a station that actually is influenced more by radical Islam than any other source of news or information.
Right, right. Wow. this is
isn't that ironic?
It is. I feel like I'm living in a surreal world, to tell you the truth. I mean, I really do.
Welcome to my world.
You know, I feel like I'm going to wake up one day and, you know, the Christian police are going to be knocking at the door wanting to burn my books that, don't talk about their ideology. And, you know, I'll be put in an internment camp or, you know what I'm saying? These people scare the hell out of me.
Well, I think they're capable of anything. That day came when I woke up and I was working on a completely non-political, I was just enjoying my life like other people who don't get involved in all this stuff, and heard the news bulletin that Sarah Palin had been picked as the vice president. That was like that, you know? You're going to wake up someday and, Sarah Palin will actually be the nominee for the vice president of the United States. It's like, oh my God, I am in the alternate reality. And so I just figured I could do nothing else but stop what I was doing and immediately launch into this.
So if you had to guess, okay, and I realize it's a guess, and everybody isn't even out there yet in terms of who's running on the Republican side. Who do you think is going to be their presidential and vice presidential candidates?
I think that there's a couple of ways this could fall. I can tell you that one of the things about Sarah Palin is, in addition to all of her devout faith and she really, honestly, truly believes she was anointed as Queen Esther to lead her people out. She believes that's an agreement, an arrangement she has directly from God, and no earthly positions in the world, including governor or anything else, really mean that much to her. But she will run. She will announce that she's running. Now, if they do not elevate her to the position of being the nominee, she will turn around and she will run as a Constitution Party candidate in 2012. Now, she knows she won't win, but she will start bringing attention to it.
So that would mean that would split the Republican vote.
Exactly.
I mean, it isn't too late to have a third party candidate for 2012. I mean, I don't know what the rules are.
No, it's not. It's not too late. In fact, even for the GOP, I believe they have until November of this year, of 2011, to file.
That would be the best thing that could happen to us.
Well, exactly. That's why I keep saying, run, Sarah, run. Go for it.
Yeah, okay, all right.
Now,
okay.
There is a lot of talk right now about Perry out of Texas being a joint ticket with Bachman. That's very, very likely. He's an absolute total Dominionist. He has just been espousing biblical rhetoric every single day on the news. He's even hosting a national prayer event in August in Houston. And one of his confidants is Brian Fisher, who's the head of the American Family Association, which has actually been recognized as a hate group by the Southern Poverty Law Center. That's how horrible they are. It could very well end up being a Perry Bachman ticket. I could see that. Palin and Bachman would never be on the same ticket. Palin will never, again, ever accept second place. She'll never allow herself to be picked as a vice president. Huckabee is not out of it. I think that I would not be surprised to see a Pawlenty Huckabee ticket with Huckabee as a vice president.
Okay.
And
so that talk about him not wanting to give up his paid gig over at Fox might not really carry a lot of weight then.
Well, no, and then all the talk, it just kills me when you listen to people that, they get paid to just sit there and talk. But a lot of that can be dangerous because people don't know that a lot of times they're just making things up too, on both sides, we're talking SNBC, CNN, whatever. But where they start doing all this conjecture and saying, and it's too late for Palin to throw, her hat in here. She hasn't formed any committees. And after all, she's still working at Fox. So if this was true, then, could she be lying to Rupert Murdoch? And it's like, yes, of course she could. duh.
Watch
this woman work.
Leah, the one thing I'll say about Sarah Palin is she strikes me as being too lazy to, and maybe this is just my perception of her, maybe this is just a big plan, like you said, she thinks she's Queen Esther, but, she seems like she's too lazy to take on the weight of being president.
She is. She is very lazy. But, One of my very good confidants is a fellow named George Lau, and he's retired now from special services. He worked under the Kennedy administration during the Bay of Pigs. He has extraordinary insight and information into how far Dominionism has been in the Pentagon since the days of MacArthur. And he was one of the very first people who told me right after her announcement that he considers her one of the most dangerous women in the world. The reason being is, and this is actually a term that's used in the Pentagon, and it's called the Armageddon football, and that's having the nuclear code. And George talks to me fairly frequently about his concern about a Bachman or a Palin or a Perry or a Palenti having access to that Armageddon football, because it's not a matter of her having goals of getting in there and being president for 4 years or 8 years. It's a matter of her getting in there to help further the, you know, this very, very skewed, very dangerous, dominionist perspective of initiating an all-out world war. They really do believe that this is Christendom versus the Islamic Empire.
Wow. And so Glenn Beck, he's a dominionist?
No, he's a Mormon.
Okay. But all right, so the two don't
jive. He's a Mormon,
jive.
But, you know, Glenn Beck is, you know, he's... He was easily used, wasn't he?
Yeah.
He was used and discarded. And he had a platform and he had an audience, and they introduced David Barton to him, and David Barton got to do his little revisionist history lessons on Glenn Beck and feed all this nonsense into this audience that they need to hang on to vote for them.
Yeah,
and
wow.
You know, Glenn Beck will be thrown under the bus just like everybody else.
Wow. And so, all right. So the Armageddon football. Let's go back to that. Or, all right. And part of our topic. I mean, our whole topic was really going to be a lot of it was fun. You know, this dominionism in the military, and we're working our way to that. And maybe this is the segue. But
yeah, it's frightening.
I mean, are there enough non-dominionists in the Pentagon to keep us safe from these people? Or, I mean, or that is an impossible question for me to answer.
Yeah, and this is the thing. We have to remember, I mean, I know that this is pretty disturbing information, believe me. But if I really didn't truly feel confident that we could rise up and just step on this movement, I would be very, I don't know where I'd go. You wouldn't be able to go anywhere in this world because... You know, if they have their way, it'll be an all-out world crisis. But, you know, but they are in the minority. And even, you know, within the military and within the Pentagon, they're in the minority. But the danger is when they're in their positions and they're functioning under the radar. And, you know, Mikey Weinstein, who's the founder of the Military Religious Freedom Foundation, He's one of our, you know, secular Republicans. He actually was legal counsel in the West Wing of the Reagan years. He worked for Ronald Reagan when he was president. He then later ended up going in the private world and worked for Ross Perot as an attorney. He still considers himself a Republican, like my dad does in his kind of thinking, but yet they vote Democrat.
Mm-hmm.
Because they know that now to vote for a Republican is voting for a theocracy. They understand that. Well, Mikey is also a graduate of the U.S. Air Force Academy, and so was his father before him, and so have his kids been. I mean, it's a long-standing thing. He's very proud of that, and he was a JAG officer. But when one of his sons was horribly discriminated against at the Air Force Academy in Colorado Springs in the mid-2000s, it reminded Mikey of the discrimination he met when he went through the academy, you know, a couple of decades prior, because Mikey and his family are Jewish. And so it took on more meaning to Mikey. Really, you know, dug in and rose, of course, to the defense of the treatment of his son. But then he started seeing what was going on from an adult perspective. And, you know, it was right around the time of the Mel Gibson movie that came out, and Mikey's son was horribly discriminated against and called, you know, Christ killer and you killed Jesus Christ.
Is Mel Gibson a dominionist?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay.
Hands down.
Okay.
But I think that, yeah, he's even off to the, He's even on the fringe of the Dominionist movement.
Okay.
He's kind of lost contact there with reality, but.
Well, no more money spent on his movies then.
No, and I have a whole list of corporations and businesses and things that, you know,
for
researcher Alex and I are putting together a very long and involved project. We're actually developing visual link charts. And in these link charts, because it's just too hard. Even those of us who are interested in this, if you start reading this stuff, you can't keep up with it. But so I came up with this idea a couple of years ago to develop these link charts, and we now have hundreds of them compiled, and we're working on them. We're going to release them at some point, part of them in this upcoming book, but then we'll do a sister website so that you can sign into it, and then you can look and you can click on each connection, and each connection will become the center of the new chart. It's quite a project.
And you'll have this ready long before the 2012 election.
I am working very hard. We are really working hard. I mean, today one of the new links we just found on Michelle Bachman is she has a stepsister who's a lesbian and has been with her partner for many, many years.
Yeah, I heard that on TV today too.
So we get to add that to the chart. But we have many links going back showing that Michelle was recruited by Campus Crusade for Christ when she was 14 years old into this Dominionist theology.
So Leah, really, I can't help but think, you know, 2012, you know, that's supposed to be the year, you know, paradigm shift, everything. You know, it feels like, you know, we're sort of on the edge of a knife and things could go either way. But if this news breaks and breaks in a big way, it could be the end of them. And, you know, maybe there could be some peace in the world.
Absolutely.
You know,
there's always going to be an uprising. It's like kind of put out a forest fire. Or like I call it, you know, it's like playing whack-a-mole. You finally find them and you hit them on the head, you know, and pop them down that hole, and then they pop up someplace else, completely reinvented. They actually have a process. They call it condemnation and rebranding. And so, like, when the do you remember a few years ago when that movie came out called Jesus Camp?
Yes.
It was a docufilm. It actually hit the theaters for, you know, not very long, a couple of months. But then it ended up, you can get it now, whether
Netflix,
local video stores or whatever. And it's really, I recommend people to watch it because that's Dominionist.
Okay.
Where they are training these little kids that are 5 years old, you know, to about 12 years old to be little warriors for Christ. They're basically, you know, it's a jihadist camp. But when that docufilm came out, what it did is it revealed what was referred to always as Joel's Army, the Joel's Army movement. And this is very widespread. Well, that brought too much light on, you know, people started asking about Joel's Army. Well, you know, they couldn't have that. So they put out a dictate. I mean, they literally put out a letter from the headquarters in Colorado Springs, which is basically where all the CEOs of Dominionism live, if you look at it like that. But and they condemned it. Well, all that they have done now is they've just rebranded it. So if you look now, you'll look up Elijah's movement, which is the same thing as Army, yeah.
But, you know, at the very least, if they can be exposed and the Tea Party and their connections and this theocracy agenda, then that really, I would think, I mean, I don't know, maybe from what you're saying, not so much, but maybe it would really set them back because people
would
start to realize that we have to worry about Christian fundamentalism in this country.
Absolutely. And you know what, Karen? That is absolutely the key. And that's why when people say, well, you know, well, what can I do? Or, you know, what am I going to do? Or, you know, what can I do to stop this? And I know people, you know, so many people just, you know, oh, I hate politics. They're all corrupt. And, you know, I don't get involved. And how many people don't
get involved? Yeah, I hear that all the time, too. Yeah.
Oh, I mean, 25 years ago, or 21 years ago, I remember sitting there with my daughter in diapers on the table, and I taught her how to roll the stamps or the envelopes because we were stuffing envelopes to get out the vote, you know, trying to get people out there to vote. And that is the single most important thing that people can do because, honestly, I believe 70% of us in this country are truly moderate.
Yeah.
Whether we're conservative moderates or liberal moderates or, you know,
mm-hmm.
most of us are not extreme in our views. We may, you know, be a little over here, a little over there. Most of us are not on these two sides of the pendulum.
Mm-hmm.
And there are always two sides. You know, there are the extremists on, you know, on the other side. You have militant atheists that are doing nothing to contribute to the dialogue and discussion that we all need to band together. And at the same time, then you have the mainline atheists who are really jumping in there and becoming more aware of dominionism, and they're saying, how can we help, you know?
Mm-hmm, right.
There's always going to be an extreme on any issue, but the most important thing that we can do is the 70% of us in this country need to understand that you can no longer, you know, it's like I say to people when I kind of paint a picture about, you know, okay, you go and you vote, if somebody does vote, and you hire this politician, U.S. Congress, 2 years, only 2 years are there. And let's say it was your business, and you hired a person to come and work for you for 2 years. Would you show them into your office, hand them the keys, give them the checkbook, give them your credit cards, give them the combination to the safe? Here's my car. Here's everything. I'll be back and check on you in 2 years. None of us would do that. Nobody would do
right,
that.
Right.
Nobody.
So why
would
do we do
that
with our politicians?
And the only reason why they get away with the things they do is because we don't watch them. We don't.
Right.
We don't care. It's apathy.
Yeah.
Is killing us in this country.
Well, I mean, you look at all the Republicans that got into office in November because Democrats didn't go out and vote because they didn't think Obama performed well enough. I bet in states like Wisconsin and Michigan, you know, and all of these
they'll
places,
vote.
I bet they're sorry they didn't come out and, you know, and vote now, you know.
2 million registered Democrats stayed home and did not vote last year.
Right.
In Wisconsin.
Right.
Alone. That was the difference in that vote, in that election. The other thing that just drives me crazy is that we really need to teach this in a way that's engaging and fun for kids in high school to wrap their minds around, because as adults, we didn't get it in this country. It wasn't even about Republican versus Democrat because of, you know, who was going to go to Congress. That was a census year, and people don't understand how this works in this country. I mean, that's the thing that made me crazy, because 27 states ended up flipping into Republican majorities. Those states, including Alaska right now, that means that the Republicans are the ones sitting there with the map, and they're red-pinning and redesigning all those districts to shove Democrats into districts that are known to be more conservative.
Mm-hmm.
and to take over liberal districts. They can red pin it any way they want.
Yeah, it's
pretty scary. That was one of the most enormous things about the 2010 election for me, and also what comes out of all that redistricting and stuff is it also plays and has a hand in the appointments of judicial positions.
Mm. And that's dangerous too. Look at the Supreme Court.
And we need to quit airing our own laundry, and we need to quit packing up our toys and go pouting in a corner when everything doesn't go our way, because honestly, I don't care who it is that gets into office, the way our system is set up, until we have campaign finance reform, anybody is going to have their hands tied. If progressives think that Obama got in there on grassroots and Facebook donations and that he does not owe an enormous debt to special interests and corporations, that's naive.
Yeah.
Because when it costs almost $1 billion for this upcoming election for a candidate to run for president, we need campaign finance reform. We need to quit picking on the person who's part of the process, like Obama, and we need to get together and change that and stop allowing that kind of control to happen because of money.
Well, and really, I don't think it gets any more bottom line than the only thing that stands in the way of us losing Medicare, Social Security, unemployment benefits, minimum wage, women's rights, worker rights. The only thing that stands in the way of us totally losing all of that is the Democrats.
Exactly.
Such as they are.
Because
such
you know
as
what?
They are.
There's
you know, they're
thing.
Not perfect.
The thing is, when Democrats vote, Democrats win.
Yeah.
And it's been that way for many, many, many years. There are more registered Democrats, but here's the problem. we're excited and popping champagne bottles when 36% of the progressive vote turns up and votes.
Yeah.
Those people vote.
Right.
They vote because of emotion, because they're scared, because they think that they're doing God's work.
Mm-hmm.
They come up in buses. The churches send out, which should be illegal, should be illegal. They give out value voters guides on the Sunday before the Tuesday election. Those people don't even have to think about who to vote for. It's all spelled out right there for them.
Right, and they just go like sheeple to the polls.
They are, and here's the thing, too, and this is what's really quite sad. It really is pitifully sad. The majority of the people in these Dominionist congregations, when I say that there's 60 to 80 million, the people within those congregations don't even understand that they're in a Dominionist congregation. They think that they're being good Christians.
Yeah.
But they have been so indoctrinated that they really, truly don't even understand what I would be talking about if I tried to talk to them. I grew up with it. My mom was one.
Yeah, so they're victims too.
But they absolutely are victims. They actually, the leaders in the movement, like Oz Hellman and Lance Wallnau, and by the way, they're all doctors of some kind. They all call themselves doctors. But James Dobson, all these names, they pride themselves in actually saying out loud that really only the top 5% they are the top 5%, and their flock doesn't really need to know the details.
Well, that reminds me of the C Street people. They were talking about how they were entitled to have privileges, excess, do whatever they wanted to do. They didn't have to obey the rules, but the rest of the flock did. It's if they
Absolutely.
Were above it all.
Yeah, and see, for the men, they're the King David. It's the King David syndrome, where in the Bible, King David actually, did horrific things, including, offering his daughters up for sexual pleasures of his company, and he himself involved in incest, and a whole host of just horrible sins, but it was okay because he was King David.
Right.
And Mark
right.
Sanford even invoked King David's name when he first. Was called on the carpet in that news conference after he came back from South America. He actually referred to himself as King David.
Wow. All right, well, we have about 45 minutes left. We've already talked for almost an hour, and it's been wonderful. Thank you. Thank you so much for your time. Let's get into how they're planning to do this, the Seven Mountains Mandate. These are the areas that they want to control. It's religion, education, family, arts and entertainment, media, business and banking, government and military. Where do you want to start?
Oh, boy. And the thing is that they really are making headway in all of these areas. And this is a program. It's a very, very slick sales promotion. They go out and they give their presentations in churches, not just in America, but around the world. They're focusing all over the world, including Africa. They're really zoning in on Africa right now. Yeah, religion.
That's why the kill the gay thing over there, is that Dominionist?
Oh yes. Oh yeah.
Okay.
It's really sad. I actually have a friend that's from Nigeria, and Ivy was commenting to me and saying that she was embarrassed because of what's happening in her country, because she actually started an orphanage for children who have been abandoned and cast aside because of the new Americanized evangelical churches that have sprung up. The preachers are, they're aggressively giving the people of the country an option. It's all going in behind, years and years and years ago when the Catholics went down and converted, native populations to Catholicism. Well, now the Dominionists are going in and trying to eradicate not only anybody who, still hangs on to their own cultural views, but Catholicism as well, because Catholicism is evil because they idolize the Mother Mary,
Right, so you got that, so they hate Catholics too.
Oh, absolutely. Catholics are, they don't count.
Okay.
They're going to hell. Everybody's going to hell, but they're kind of Christian. But, under the religion heading, that's one of the things that they're doing is that they're heavily proselytizing. They have so many different ways of doing this. D. James Kennedy, who died a couple years ago, started a major church down in Coral Gables, Florida. When our U.S. Congress right now, who should be focusing on jobs in our the state of our economy and the plight of our people, who say that, you know, they're working hard. Well, they took time out to actually pass a resolution honoring and making a D. James Kennedy Day.
Mm.
You know, this is that stuff that it's hiding in plain sight. It's just nauseating.
Right, right.
But it's just this big push to Christianize the world, and they're making enormous strides.
How can we spot them in the news? I mean, I know you mentioned, and you're probably going to get to some of this, but for instance, when we see that they're trying, you know, that those 900 bills against women's reproductive rights, that's Dominionists?
Yes. 938. Because what you have to do is you have to look at the severity of them. For example, Rick Perry, governor of Texas, just signed into law, in fact, just a couple weeks ago, a pro-life bill in Texas. Now, a woman in Texas who goes to seek an abortion for any reason whatsoever has to succumb to a sonogram. She has to look at the sonogram. She has to listen while the technician tells the mother what the body parts are. And she has to listen to the heartbeat whether she wants to or not.
Okay.
That's punitive.
Right.
That is extreme.
Right. Well, and the ones, too, that you have to prove the miscarriage,
yes.
You know, you can go to jail for having a miscarriage if you can't prove what? How does that one go?
That's some of the legislation that has been introduced. Now, none of that has passed this year, but it doesn't mean that they aren't going to continue to try because, you know, it took them 27 years to infest the Texas Board of Education until they finally had a majority where last year they actually changed a lot of the language in the textbooks for public school students for history.
Yeah, taking slavery out as one of the reasons for the Civil War, and right now Thomas Jefferson, I think, right?
Oh yeah, and proposing to take Ted Kennedy out because he wasn't significant yet, putting in Phyllis Schlafly and Newt Gingrich.
Oh my God!
Yeah, so, well, they did.
So they're affecting education. And, you know, I'm really worried about these privatized schools and these homeschooled
kids. Yep, the whole voucher,
kids.
All that language that you hear about the voucher system, we have to do that. And see, the Dominionists literally
code, that's code word
public.
For Dominionism?
Yeah.
That's code
Dominionists
for Dominionism.
Actually call public schools institutes of Satan.
Okay.
They really honestly believe that they are liberal institutions that are set up to try and take their children away from Christ. And here's one of the reasons why some kids will wander, because when they're homeschooled, and I know this, I know a lot of walkaways. My website gets read pretty well, but a lot of the people that will read my website that stumble on it are people who are walkaways, and oftentimes they think that they're all by themselves, and they're starting to realize that there are tens of thousands of them in this country. But, you know, and a lot of those people were raised growing up homeschooled. And
what's a walkaway?
Yeah, walkaways from Dominionism.
Dominionism. Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
And they have suffered any range of religiously motivated child abuse, and some of the stories are really purely horrific, and that's a whole nother show. And
okay. And
actually, you know, that's something that we may want to do at some point,
okay.
And include a woman named Vicki Garrison, who I think, but we'll talk about that. But it's a very, very important aspect of this. You know, we've seen where, you know, we've heard about those parents who withhold health care to their children, and then children die. There's a case in Oregon right now where the parents are being, you know, held responsible for the death of their child. But it goes beyond that. There are practices like caning your child, and they actually have manuals for raising your godly child, and they teach them to use quarter-inch round dowels. And when the child is 6 months old, you put them in a high chair, and you put some kind of food item in front of them that they like and that they want. When they reach for it, you cane them, their hands, until they cry. Then when they start crying, you pick them up and embrace them until they stop, you put them down, and then you repeat that. What happens is you end up with these traumatized children who are not taught to think. They're just taught to soak in the information that they're told. And that's why you can see a family like the Duggar family that has this reality TV show and this huge collection of children. Rick Santorum has an enormous number of children. I can't remember exactly now, at least 9. But this is why you'll see them so well behaved. They're brought up in this kind of upbringing. James Dobson contributed to that, and another man named Bill Gothard. It's just horrific. But
well,
all this ties back around, and, you know, Sarah Palin, the first thing she did when she was mayor of Wasilla was she dedicated the city of Wasilla as a character city, which is a program that Bill Gothard designed.
Well, I have to ask you, and because I think I would, you know, be my listeners would be upset if I don't ask you. You know, the whole thing about Sarah Palin being against, religious sex education, and then her daughter gets pregnant, and the special ed baby, all of that. The way she's just sort of used those kids and everything. Would you say that, you know, her kids have undergone that, you know, this sort of upbringing?
No, honestly, I think that if Sarah had found out about the Bill Gothard and James Dobson teachings sooner, that probably, you know, would have come into play. I think that, you know, she has really focused more on, you know, what she thinks is, you know, her goal and mission, and I think the children have suffered as a result of that, honestly.
Is that last child, is it really hers? I mean, I know there was a lot of stuff in the news about was it or wasn't it.
There still is. And, you know, honestly, I don't know. It's one of those things that, you know.
It's not that important in the big scheme of things.
No, and I actually have some, you know, acquaintances in Alaska that, you know, are blogging constantly about this, and I keep trying, I really try to get them to get off that topic because, you know what, honestly, if it was Bristol's and Palin was trying to cover up for the fact that Bristol had an early delivery and a premature baby that had Down syndrome and then turn around and got pregnant right away again, let's just say if that were the scenario, her followers would even be more emboldened and more supportive because that just raises her, elevates her. And that's, you know, all these people that spend all this energy trying to bring her down on gossip, the emails that came out, all this stuff, all the energy that goes into all that tabloid stuff.
That just feeds her people and makes them more loyal, huh?
Distracts.
Yeah.
Yeah. The one thing I will tell you is, and there's been speculation about, that I will tell you is absolutely hands down true, and that is that Todd really does call a lot of the shots, the majority
That was the next place I was going to go about, you know, women's roles in Dominionism, because I had heard that, you know, in their sort of marital relationships that it's, you know, the woman is secondary to the man. The man calls the shots. So just hypothetically, a Sarah Palin presidency would really be a Todd Palin presidency.
It would be a hierarchical one because Todd has to give a nod to whatever Sarah is doing, but Todd has to get the approval nod from his minister or preacher or advisor, and then it just goes right on up the ladder into this, apostolic senior apostle level.
So
it's just really
too.
Something. It really is. It is like an org chart.
So they're really puppets of the organization themselves. They're not high up enough to be calling the shots.
No, not at all. Not at all. But, you know, they don't see it that way. But
right.
When she first became governor, Todd literally was camped in her office with his own computer. I know that at one point when a very high up senior legislative member wanted and expected an appointment with the new governor, which was traditional and should have happened, Todd was there, and so this legislator said, no, I want to have an appointment with the governor. Sarah absolutely refused to meet with this person because she refused to have Todd leave the room.
Hmm.
And
wow.
And there were many reports of that. I mean, Todd,
yeah.
he got to see the state budget before her cabinet member did.
Wow.
And my dad was a commissioner under two different governors up there. I know how this stuff works, and I was a lobbyist. I played in that Capitol building. You know, that is my home. But very, very unorthodox. And really it does come down to what you said earlier, what we talked about, and that is the rules apply to everybody else, not to them.
Right. Well, now, you know, there's a church down here in Southern California that tells women that the new feminism is, you know, it's really sort of veiled oppression, but one of the things they say is you can get a divorce from your husband if he commits adultery or if he abandons you, but not if he abuses you. Is that mm-hmm. some of the tenets of dominionism too?
Yes, it is, and in fact, when Katie Couric asked Sarah Palin if she was a feminist, remember that in the
yes.
You know, and she said, well, yes, I am. Well, see, I mean, really, honestly, it's confusing for Sarah because it's how they have defined feminists. And, in fact, she does belong to an organization that Phyllis Schlafly is one of the leaders of, and it's called Feminists for Life. Now, doesn't that sound very progressive?
Sure.
Well,
but
it's not.
Yeah.
It subjugates women, and it's horrible. There was a law that was introduced in New Hampshire this spring, which is why it's so frightening about, you know, the fact that the primary is happening there, that would make it impossible for a woman to be granted a divorce until her children were 18. Not a man, but the woman.
Oh, my God. I didn't hear that one yet.
Yeah. Well, it's one of those, and you're right, it was over 900. It was 938 bills that have been passed that are just absolutely egregious, tied right into a biblical law. And what I said earlier when I recommend, and I really strongly recommend it, I wrote an article, in fact, just recently in the past week, again, about the Constitution Party, and I always include links. If anybody wants to go look, you can simply find it on my site. But you look at their platform and their preamble, and right up front they talk about how they want to revert the U.S. Constitution and base it on biblical law.
Well, that wouldn't be good for women.
No, we would lose the right to vote, for one thing.
Well, and our husband could just give us to his, you know, friends that come to visit to pleasure him on football Sunday or something.
I'm telling you, as absurd as it all sounds, we are so lucky in this country that it seems like something that only happens to other people.
Right.
But the reality is, it was really not very long ago that Iran was a democracy.
Mm.
And that's one of the most recent examples, and I mean within the past few decades. Iran was a democracy. It is now a theocracy that is ruled by Sharia law.
Right, so things can
you
change.
You ask an Iranian woman what she thinks about can it happen here. And we
right.
need to take this seriously. This is not funny. This is not a joke. We need to quit laughing at Sarah Palin. We need to start listening to what it is that's coming out of that mouth. And we need to pay attention to all those people that nobody's even paying attention to because everybody's concentrating on her.
Right. Well, this is you know, you're blowing me away in bigger ways than I even thought you were going to. Since our time is starting to get short, what are the most important things we need to talk about in the next 20, 25 minutes? Because the time just goes by so quick.
I know, it really does. Well, we need to talk about the fact that this really can happen here and that it's a very, very serious issue. But we also need to understand that, having said that, we can stop this. We are in the majority, and we absolutely can stop this. The biggest enemy to the dominionist political movement in this country is exposure. And they are becoming so brazen and so cocky that they're just saying stuff right out in front of us. So we need to listen for things. When they talk about divine providence, those are terms that are biblical terms. And all this movement, this constant movement to convince you know, us that we were founded as a Christian nation. The insertion into trying to take over, you know, this is where Ron Paul is a libertarian who's not a dominionist. is contributing to the Dominionist goal of eradicating public education. You see what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that's how these people dovetail in and become more powerful, because they work towards their own interests.
Right.
You know, the military, getting back just a little bit to, you know, what Mikey started out doing, and we've made huge strides. Last year, we actually were successful in convincing Secretary of Defense Robert Gates to disinvite Franklin Graham, Billy Graham's son, from speaking on behalf of all Americans on the National Day of Prayer at the Pentagon, because he had just recently, and of course since then, repeated several times that Islam, you know, Islam is an evil empire. We do not need representatives of America inciting more violence by calling out Islam as an evil empire and painting all Muslims with that brush.
Well, now, Blackwater, and I know there's some other initials now, she or something like that, F-I.
Yeah,
F-E. They're Dominionists?
Absolutely. Eric Prince grew up actually getting in trouble with young Franklin Graham. Eric Prince, who has started and is the head of Blackwater, he was a Navy SEAL. So the people within his private militia are highly skilled Navy SEAL type operatives. And he's a total Dominionist, is related to the DeVos family, who started Amway, which is a Dominionist company and corporation that funnels
mm-hmm.
money, just like Chick-fil-A and so many others. Domino's Pizza, that goes back to that link charting I was telling you about.
We're going to make sure that
you can have a choice, an informed choice, to not spend your money supporting these corporations that funnel their money into proselytizing around the world.
Right.
You know, Franklin Graham, he has built a palatial log cabin up in Alaska. He has set up a revival camp with several cabins in order to have revival retreats up there for Joel's Army activities. He is foisting himself on proselytizing to the villages. They focus very, very strongly on First Nations people, always, in America and around the world. You know, and offensively pointing out to the Native people that they're, you know, just unsophisticated, you know,
heathens.
Backwards. Yeah,
yeah.
Heathens. But, you know, for an example, Franklin Graham, in fact, I saw him on CNN this last Christmas season, and he was being interviewed because it all sounds so lovely on the surface, that he has this thing he does each year where he flies, you know, because he's a multi-millionaire on his dad's wealth, but he flies these jets filled with chew boxes of toys for the children in Africa. Well, what he really does is they get over there and their families have to sign a statement of faith conversion before he'll give them the toys. Or they have to sign that statement of faith conversion before he will hand out the mosquito netting to prevent them from getting malaria.
God.
This is how they're going out and spreading the good word of the Lord, you know, instead of what I remember being taught was, you know, by your good deeds they will know you.
Right, right.
They're out there saying, you know, oh, you're suffering from a horrible disease called malaria? Well, we're not going to give you this net that could help save your life or the life of your children unless you convert to our faith, or
yeah.
God will punish you. It's a horrible thing.
Well, and I know Rachel Maddow had said something on TV a while back about, you know, going back to the military a little bit, was that some supplier of bullets and... They had Bible verses on them, and they were writing Bible verses on the sides of tanks. I mean, they were really making it a holy war over there in Iraq.
That was our story, too, that we broke, Mikey and I, through Military Religious Freedom Foundation. It's just Mikey, myself, and then a third board member, and we're very fortunate to have him. It's former Ambassador Joe Wilson, whose wife, Valerie Plame, was outed by Dick Cheney.
Absolutely. Yeah. Is Dick Cheney a Dominionist?
No, he's an opportunist.
Okay,
You know, it's greed and oil and Halliburton.
Yeah, right.
And he's, you know, he gets rich no matter how many people he hurts, kills, or, you know, maims.
Yeah, Darth
he's
Vader.
A horrible, horrible little man.
Well, Halliburton, is that a Dominionist company?
No.
Okay.
It's just, you know, it's one of the, that's why I broke it out into God, Guns, and Greed.
Gotcha, gotcha. Okay.
It really is those three sectors. But, yeah, so we broke that story last year. It's a company called Tregicon in Michigan. And the owner of Tregicon, who's dead now, who, believe it or not, and I'm not making this up, it's because he was on a trip, hunting trip to Alaska, and his plane flew into and killed him into a mountain called Gunsight Mountain. Pretty ironic.
Yeah.
But he was a Dominionist. He was a devout Pentecostal fundamentalist. And they had been putting these Bible verses very, very discreetly. And it was brought to our attention by some armed forces personnel on the ground in Iraq. But it would be like JN3:16, and then maybe a couple numbers after it and a couple numbers before. So if you didn't really know what you were looking for, it was pretty subtle. I mean, after all, he got away with it for years. And but these were, you know, once they were pointed out, we brought it up. Mikey had a meeting with the Pentagon. Secretary of Defense, again, Robert Gates, immediately acted on it. There was a letter sent to Tregicon to cease and desist. They had just re-upped their defense budget contract through Congress, and I honestly don't remember now, but it was in the billions of dollars to provide weapons for our military. So they were forced to have to come out with a kit, and this kit is supposed to etch and take that Bible verse off the gun sights. So
yeah.
We were successful in getting that accomplished, but what we are hearing now is that some of the senior officers who are evangelized into this Dominionism in the military are withholding those kits and not giving them out to the personnel so that they can get rid of this stuff. And all that does is put our guys at risk. And the same people that are running around with the ribbons on the back of their cars that say we support our troops and look at liberals like we don't,
mm-hmm.
Well, they're actually contributing to putting our troops in harm's way more and more because of this religious rhetoric.
Right. Right, exactly. Well,
I know, where do you go from here?
yeah, I mean, it's so much, and we're starting to run out of time. So arts and entertainment, what do we have to know about that field? Are they making movies that sort of promote this agenda?
Well, yeah, and you know, we've seen some recently kind of come out, even with some major actors, you know, after the self-made, you know, Left Behind series stuff that came out. And by the way, Rick Warren is also a Dominionist, and President Obama did handpick him to do the invocation at his inauguration, which was very, very disturbing.
Right.
Although I just truly, honestly don't think that Obama sees him as part, I think he sees it as reaching across and trying to embrace everybody.
Yeah.
But yes, there are, and you know, and now if you listen, you'll pick up on things like, you know, again going back to Palin, because she gets so much press and coverage. There's more opportunity to hear her take jabs at Hollywood, which I think is, you know, of course, totally hypocritical because that's where she's making her money right now. But they are definitely trying to get in there. We're seeing more Armageddon-type movies being made, the end of the world, the crumbling of, you know, buildings. You know, we're starting to see more and more of that stuff happening.
So you think that they're behind that, you know, sort of prepping people?
Well, I know they are. I know they are because I actually know of specific people we know that are part of the Seven Mountains Mandate organization. I mean, this is huge. These people have millions upon millions of dollars. They have a completely parallel economy. They have pediatricians that are not registered with because you don't have to be with the National Pediatric Association. So that when these children that I talked about earlier are disciplined, if they get hurt, they don't get reported to DFIS. They have their own yellow pages, the Christian yellow pages and white pages, and they adhere very strictly to who is or is not sanctioned to do business with.
Wow. Yeah, so they're supporting their own. So now the business and banking, I'm wondering, the whole Wall Street debacle, you know, when we bailed out Wall Street, please don't tell me they're so big that the Dominion has had a hand in that.
No, not at all. Not at all. Actually, you know, this plays into some of that conspiracy theory perspective that they've actually kind of adopted, that the Jews are taking over the banking industry and the world, and we're going to be one currency.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, no, they're trying to insinuate themselves into, well, everything. You know, they call it the secular mountains, and they want to dominate and take over all the secular mountains, and those seven are them. And once you can, and their own, you can YouTube seven mountains and listen. It's just stunning. I have a couple of short videos on the sidebar of my website that will give you in 4 minutes a real good idea what the Seven Mountains mandate is. Marching that way.
We haven't even mentioned your website. Let's make sure we say it, please.
Okay, godsownparty.com. It's a play on GOP.
Ah, yeah, got that. Okay. Well, the next time I go out with a picket sign, I'm going to have GOP, God's Own Party. I had good old patriarchy or something like that, but now it's going to be God's Own Party. Leah, are you and your people who are exposing this organization, have you met with any danger or
we get so many death threats. In fact, I moved recently. Intentionally, because I was starting to get very concerned, and now that I've moved, I'm living on a very low population island, but I woke up a couple weeks ago to my tires being spiked. We get a lot of ugly stuff. For example, the most amazing, I actually put a hate mail example today. Periodically I'll post an example because there's no way I can convey it. You have to read what they say. Most of the time, they consider themselves to be Christian patriots. They call me a tool, so they're going to reserve a long and torturous death for me instead of a quick one because I was foolish enough to follow people like Mikey Weinstein.
Are the Christian militias, are the militias usually Dominionist?
The private militias, well, you know, Eric Prince, definitely, Blackwater and Z. The other person that we just saw Sarah Palin running around with is retired General Boykin, and he is he's trying to establish his own private militia here in this country. He got turned down for a permit where he was actually trying to put a full-size commercial landing strip on a piece of property in Florida.
But, you know, like these survivalist kind of militias, you know, the ones that are out there in sort of the backwoods, like Timothy McVeighs.
That's the guns. Now, Timothy McVeigh was a Dominionist. He absolutely was.
And that didn't even come out, I don't think.
No, it didn't. It didn't, and believe me, we've all talked about that quite a bit. But the survivalist mentality, really you're getting kind of into a paranoid group of people that really think that there are so many people in the government that they have nothing but time to watch what they do. And then you have variations. You have a lot of racism. You have Aryan Nation. Christian identity is they're Dominionist, but they're Aryan Dominionists. They believe that they were the original inhabitants of Israel that got chased into northern Europe. So they believe that, you know, that's why Jesus has blonde hair and blue eyes.
So that's how they justify that.
Yep.
Oh my God! I just thought that was let's make Jesus look like us. I had no idea there was really some logic behind that.
No, and they really they sincerely believe that the white are the chosen race. Google Christian identity, and you'll see more disgusting stuff there than you ever wanted to.
Well, Leah, we've got at the most 10 minutes, and I know we've covered a lot. Is there anything else that, we need to talk about, or can you leave us with some hope or some things to do besides going out and vote, or what can we do to fight this?
Well, paying attention, really now just, opening your eyes and really listening to them. Don't dismiss it. I mean, even people who think that they're completely in the know. A great example is last year I tried to have a conversation with Ron Reagan Jr. in Seattle. We were at an event and about, you know, this, and he flipped his hand at me and walked past me and rolled his eyes and said, "I'm not going to talk to you about Palin. She's irrelevant."
Mm.
And that, all that does is contribute to feeding and allowing them to be dismissed as not dangerous.
Yeah, give them cover.
Yeah. And you know, I'm not a conspiracy theorist. Believe me, I wish that this stuff wasn't going on. But I know that if I don't keep fighting on this, I would never forgive myself if I watched my, you know, 23-year-old daughter and my 8-month-old granddaughter have to face living in a theocracy where women are, you know, don't have freedoms and rights. And, you know, it just, I can't sleep at night thinking about that, because
right.
I see how much these people are making headway. And as I said about the Texas Board of Education, they have stick-to-itness. They're persistent.
Yeah.
They will keep doing this until they win. And the more we dismiss them or roll our eyes and go, I don't care about politics, they're all corrupt, the best thing that we can do is, if every single person could get 5 people who haven't voted to vote, we can stop this in its tracks. I know we can.
The governors, all the Republican governors like Scott Walker, all the ones that are, you know, this anti-worker agenda, are they Dominionists?
He is. He definitely is. He was raised by a Southern Baptist preacher father. Now, you know, and this is something, too, but, you know, we don't have time to get down into it. What you have to remember is there's a term called steeplejacking is what we call it. And Dominionists have gone into mainstream churches, and they have steeplejack churches. You know, the churches that we're used to seeing out in the country are like the ones I grew up going to. Have a lot of them now have shutters on their windows because they have siphoned off those congregations and into these mega churches. They appeal to the younger audience with big screen TVs and Christian rock bands, and you know, the preachers stand up there and, you know, faded out knee jeans that are, you know, like $400 designer jeans with their shirt tail untucked. So there are mainline Baptists, but those that belong to the SBC, Southern Baptist Convention, those are Dominionist. There are mainline Episcopalians, and then there are Dominionists. Same in every single denomination. Lutherans, there's the Missouri Synod, and there's the ELC. They have effectively gone in, and if they can't siphon them off, they cripple the churches to the point where a lot of places have had to close their doors because their congregations are so small they can't keep them going.
God, they're predators.
They are, and in fact, my co-researcher, Alex, who is just a brilliant woman, and she hides behind an anonymous name because she's terrified of them, but she calls them Narasites, N-A-R for New Apostolic Reformation. She calls them Narasites, and they are. They're
parasites. Yeah. Well,
the main thing is that we just start paying attention, and when they start using biblical terms, even today, Rick Perry, being interviewed in New York City today, said, "Well, a prophet usually isn't welcome in his own town," and then he just says right out, he says, "That's biblical." And it's true, you know. So
I heard him say that.
How obvious it is.
Right. Well, I want to, you know, I want to help you get on Rachel Maddow or Keith Olbermann. You know, seriously. I mean, Rachel did such good coverage of C Street. I would love to see her do this. And you know, I would like to think maybe she's saving it if Sarah Palin or Michelle Bachmann really end up being contenders. You know, to really expose these people. I hope she's aware of it, you know, or somebody of her ilk, you know.
Yes. Yeah, I know that she must be to some degree. I just had Stephanie Miller follow me this morning on Twitter finally. So, you know, it's kind of picking up, you know, here and there. As soon as I get a publisher to get my book, and I'm going to get aggressive with the publisher list that I have that I sent out parcels to, and I have not gotten any rejections. I know they're all sitting there waiting for her to announce. But what they need to understand is that if she does not announce and she does not run for president, it doesn't mean that this story goes away with her. I'm not writing an unauthorized biography on Sarah Palin. This story is significant because she is the poster girl, and the last chapter of my book is titled A Twisted Debt of Gratitude, because had it not been for Sarah rising to this level of notoriety, we have never had a better vehicle to tag this whole discussion on than Sarah Palin.
Gotcha. Well, Leah, I think we're going to have to probably bring it to a close tonight, but remind me again, I wanted to have you back on. We were going to talk about what? I've totally lost my train of thought. You said something else that...
I think it's really important that we discuss the religiously motivated child abuse.
Child abuse. Okay, yeah, we'll have you back on and talk about that. And, all right, and so let's give your websites again and anything else you can tell people to be looking at till your book comes out or you get those links together to tell us what companies not to support.
Absolutely. My site is godsownparty.com. Of course, you can't put a question mark in there, but it really, the title shows the question mark. Godsownparty.com. And if you follow my blog, and I just am one person there, I try to get a post up at least every couple days. But I also have been invited now to submit a weekly post on Politicus USA, and I'll have those links on my site. They get a tremendous amount of traffic, and I'm going to be doing a Sunday post over there. I'm delighted that people are inviting me to, you know, give me broader forums in order to get this word out there, because it just needs to go viral. And I'm doing everything I can to work toward that end. And the book is Fringe America: God, Guns, and Greed. And it's an easy read, and I've got to get this out there, and we can't wait. I need to have this book get out into the bookstores by fall.
Absolutely, and you need a whirlwind book tour too. To really expose this. I mean, this is important stuff. This is we're talking about the end of our country as we know it.
Yes.
I mean, I don't think that's an exaggeration by any stretch of the imagination.
No, it really isn't, and it is really serious, and it is time for us to pay as much attention to this as we do about who wins American Idol or...
Exactly.
You know? And
exactly.
I understand. I really do. I really understand that it's ugly business. But, you know, I have sat there in the gallery watching the floor session with important votes coming up and watching a legislator sitting there in her pink fluffy slippers reading a romance novel while the guy next to her was sitting there going through his hunting magazine. I've watched all this, just laissez-faire attitude. And they do it because we don't pay attention.
Right.
And it really doesn't take much. You know, I'm not recommending that everybody go out there and become 24/7 activists like I've dedicated my life to, but if you can just hold your nose and vote for freedom. And right now, because of they took over the Republican Party, I am not anti-Republican. I'm really not anti-anybody except anti-extremism.
Yeah,
but now
they
set the stage, and they have given us no option. We have no option in 2012 but to vote Democrat.
Absolutely. And you know, and I agree with that, too. I mean, I have friends who are Republicans who are smart people, and they have not been paying attention. They don't know what these Republicans have done just since November. They still think it's their daddy's Republican Party, you know.
I'll tell you, Karen, I mean, I remember I lobbied in the hallways, and I was as welcome on both sides of the aisle because I don't make it personal. But the thing is that we could get really passionate about, you know, our particular perspective on an issue, but it never got personal. At the end of the day, we could run down to the Baranoff Hotel and have a cocktail in Juneau or go to dinner at each other's homes. Now it's personal.
Yeah.
And it's an attack on your faith, and if you don't believe the way they do, that means you can't possibly have morals, and the social fabric of our country is, you know, blah, blah, blah. It's just changed, and we need to acknowledge that. We need to do something about it.
Well, and it's a matter of survival, too. I mean, maybe people are burying their heads in the sand. They're watching American Idol for escapism because things are so tough. I get that. But this is our survival. If we lose Medicare, Social Security, unemployment insurance, minimum wage, we are talking survival issues here. Children, you know, I mean, we had, before these extremists, we had 70% of women retire in poverty, millions of kids going to bed hungry. I mean, education was in the toilet. What do they think it's going to be when these people get finished with us? I mean,
they don't really see it as being that much longer left on this earth. You know, they don't really care when they talk about, you know, when Sarah Palin's like, drill, baby, drill, they honestly believe that God gave us exactly the, to the drop enough natural resources to use till the end of days.
Right.
Period.
Well, but I'm saying the people who don't want to go out and vote, you know, you are voting for your survival. You are voting to protect yourself from these people.
Right.
You know, and the future that they want to carve out, or the Armageddon they want to carve out. You know, they want it to be the end.
Well, yeah, I mean, they get excited when these natural disasters happen. These people really get, you know, excited. It's like, see, you know, we are getting closer to the end of days.
You know,
this is one of the global warming deniers.
You just look at
all of this, and once it starts making sense and the pieces fall into place, please read my blogs and go back and read the historical ones I've written, because I don't just write quick, non-informative pieces. I spend hours on each one.
Okay.
I really am trying to inform people.
And just a really quick question, and it's got to have a quick answer, and this might be totally unrelated, but I'm thinking about how they're, you know, anti-global warming and all of that stuff, and they want the end of the world to come. Have you heard about the HAARP project? H-A-A-R-P, I think it is.
You know what, that sticks in my head, and I'm so sorry, I can't.
I think it has something to do with they actually can create natural disasters. And I know that sounds really paranoid and conspiracy theory-ish, but there are a lot of people who I respect that actually think there might be something to this. And I thought, well, you know what, this would be a perfect dominionist thing to bring on the end of the world, you know, if it's really true, you know, and I don't know. But
I think we just have to, you know, and the reason why they focus on the Air Force, because in Revelations, all, you know, Armageddon, all the destruction comes from the air. That's why they don't really focus that hard and heavy on the Army and, you know, the other armed forces. They do. They evangelize. But the Air Force is their main target.
Ah, okay. I'm glad we said that, because I didn't realize. I just figured it was across the board. Well, Leah, thank you so much. Please, please, please be safe. You know, and thank you. Thank you for your dedication and for the work you're doing there. I mean, this is really, really, you know, this is life-changing stuff. This is world-changing stuff. So, you know that you're appreciated, please.
Thank you so much, Karen. And we really can stop this. I know we can.
I know we can, too. We just have to get the word out, education. All right, well, I will email you later, and we'll talk about having you come back on about the child abuse and that such. But thank you so much. You have been so informative. I so appreciate you being on the show tonight. And listeners, she had to go find a phone to talk to us because she was having computer problems tonight. So she really made the extra effort to be with us, and I thank you so very much.
Well, thank you, everybody. And I hope that, you know, if I made you nervous and I made you a little scared, just remember we can stop it.
Yeah, we can. We have the power. We do. All right. Well, thank you so much, Leah, and we'll be in touch.
Thank you. All right.
Good night.
Right.
Well, listeners, this is Karen Tate, and if you're just tuning in, the show is coming to a close now, but I'm the hostess of Voices of Sacred Feminine, where we discuss Goddess, the Divine Feminine, the resurging interest in right brain thinking and feminine consciousness. Obviously, all of these things, the antithesis of what these folks, the dominionists, are about, because we talk about the great she as deity, archetype, and ideal, how these new values of the great mother can... can save our world, not bring our world to an end. So if you've been listening to Leah Burton give us insight into what's going on out there in many of these dominionist Christian churches and why we need to be aware if we care about separation of church and state, religious tolerance, peace, moderation, and that the world continues to go on, please go to her website, be aware, please vote. Like she said, bring five people out to vote. We see the consequences of Democrats and independents not voting last November. We cannot risk having these people get in office. It could very well mean the end of the world as we know it. And I know that sounds drastic, but you heard what she said. You heard what they're about. And we certainly don't need the United States to turn into a theocracy or one of these dominionists with their hand on the button of nuclear weapons. So please tune in again next week. I'm sort of flustered here, everything we've talked about. But please, tune in with us next week. Thank you for being with us tonight. I encourage you to go look at Lee's site. And I will close with just a little bit of music here to kind of lighten the mood.